Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
For the union labor.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed-thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday at this time. Don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturday, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And, of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show is entering its 28th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. Our topics du jour, as you may have heard, well, Democrats demand ICE agents be unmasked despite knowing that doing so exposes them to life-threatening acts by inbred activists. Will they succeed? I think not. Also, the Supreme Court soon decides on whether district judges must stop their national injunctions that usurp the executive's separated powers. Will Trump use his check on the judiciary if SCOTUS rules against those powers? Also, Democrats thrive on being perpetually offended to justify being indefinitely outraged. Is that why their poll numbers are lower than Diddy's? And Democrats are proven wrong after saying Trump's tariffs would raise inflation, but will they ever acknowledge it? Democrat Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman agrees with Trump versus his party on everything from immigration to Israel to Iran, also to the rare earth minerals deals with Ukraine. What's next? Also, multiple GOP voting blocs demand legislation on Trump's proposed DOGE cuts of $9.4 billion. Is it best that Speaker Johnson backs them, given he needs their support on Trump's big, beautiful bill? Also, Biden repeatedly got lost in his own closet at the White House. But we're still supposed to believe that Democrat leaders and their legacy media allies were oblivious to his cognitive cratering. Really? What's also up with the idea that Trump is somehow losing ground with the voters? It doesn't appear to really be the case. Before we get any further, let's go ahead and share with the audience, James, this clip from CNN. You're going to be listening to Harry Enten, who's their data analyst. And he goes over a recent CNN poll, as well as a Reuters Ipsos poll, disabusing folks of the idea that somehow Trump is being eclipsed by his competition. Clip six, James, if you please.
Yeah, you would think after all of the waves, Kate Baldwin, after the last few months, first 4 months of the Donald Trump presidency, that you expect that Democrats would have this massive lead on the economy. It ain't so. It ain't so. The party that is closest to your economic views, in November of 2023, it was the Republicans by 11 points. Now it's still within that range, still within that margin of error. plus 8-point advantage for the Republican Party. How is that possible, Democrats? How is that possible after all the recession fears, after the stock market's been doing all of this, after all the tariffs that Americans are against, and Republicans still hold an 8-point lead on the economy? Are you kidding me? If it was just this one CNN poll, that would be one thing. But take a look at Reuters Ipsos. Party with a better economic plan. Well, in May of 2024, Republicans had a 9-point advantage. Look at where we are now in May of 2025. The advantage actually went up by 3 points. Now Republicans have a 12-point advantage. This speaks to Democratic problems on the economy better than basically anything that you could possibly look at. The Republicans still hold an advantage on the all-important key issue of the day.
Without a doubt. And again, it's not just those polls. Even NBC polls, while less complimentary, are still essentially reflecting the fact that compared to Trump, everybody else is in the toilet. Again, that was CNN's Harry Enten going over that CNN poll as well as that Reuters Ipsos poll, illustrating that the public still has greater confidence in Republicans as well as Trump when it comes to the economy than they do Democrats. And he says this is a big deal for Democrats because this confidence comes in the wake of public dislike of tariffs, recession fears, and the stock market chaos. But the truth is there's not all that much stock market chaos. When you look at the overall curve of what's been happening, it's still doing well. And now, because of the leverage that came with the tariff threat, lots of countries are coming to the table for negotiation. The U.S.-UK deal is now a fait accompli. China's on board with propitiating the otherwise frayed nerves of all markets because of their bad behavior. Trump has agreed to suspend a lot of the tariffs. Democrats like to characterize that as chickening out. But in fact, what he's doing is he's rewarding changing behavior from these same nations that are saying, look, we'll negotiate with you, but please give us some breathing room. Don't hit us with these tariffs yet. And he says, okay, but it's like Damocles' sword. It's going to drop on you unless you come through. But I'll go ahead and suspend it for now. That's not chickening out. That's being strategic. But Democrats have to lurch onto whatever they can, regardless of how nonsensical it is in the aftermath. Really astonishing what we're looking at. Just amazingly astonishing. I mean, that's why I say in the beginning that they're just thriving on being perpetually offended to justify being indefinitely outraged. One allows for the other. For instance, Democrats argue that cutting waste, fraud, excess personnel from government and abuse from Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and the Pentagon somehow equals cutting their benefits and goals. Versus respectively protecting them. I think voters are catching on to the Democrats' inverted burden-approved BS tactics. Or maybe I'm just being overly sanguine. And in addition to those polls, we have other developments. The latest NBC poll shows Trump approval to be lower than other ones, but still, even within the context of their reporting, higher than it's ever been for Trump. Well, for instance, Insider Advantage, Trafalgar and Rasmussen, they have him in the mid-50s. But even though NBC polls have him lower than that, I think they have him at 47, they still have him 7 points higher than he was at this time in his first term. So what do we make from these developments? And by the way, that same NBC poll shows Democrats at a 27 approval rating. Others have him at 24, 23, 25. NBC goes a little lighter, 27. Oh, my God. When you're that low, you're losing friends and family, not just voters. I mean, that's a depth rivaling most sewer systems. Or, again, am I being too strident? And, again, this same NBC poll also shows another positive for Trump, albeit, again, not as high as most other surveys, but still a pretty good deal for NBC. It illustrates that the country's right track, wrong track numbers are at 44 and 54. 44 right track, 54 wrong track. Versus 27 right track, 66 wrong track, as reflected in November of 2024. Wow. And again, this was explained by their data analyst, Jason Howard, over at NBC. Now, he further adds that we haven't seen this 44% right track direction approval number since 2004. Also remember, Rasmussen, one of the most accurate pollsters in the 2024 election, has the right track at 50%, which is record-breaking at all levels. It's never been that high before. But even if we go with NBC, it's still a record breaker. Not since 2004 have we seen the right track this high. Now, are developments like these perhaps another reason for the Democrat leadership's collective gyrating apoplexy? I would suggest so. Yes. And the same thing on border security and immigration. Trump's agenda receives a 55% approval versus 43% disapproval, which obviously includes both independents and Democrats. However, every night, legacy media broadcast about how the nation is fed up with Trump's dictatorial policies that are supposedly tearing the nation apart. Damn. Are these inbreds sociopathic or simply functionally illiterate? You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Going to be right back.
Heart disease is the leading cause of death in the U.S., but new research offers hope. A recent clinical trial shows that a once-daily anti-inflammatory medication may help reduce dangerous plaque in the arteries, offering new options for people living with heart disease. Cardiologist and program director at Harbor UCLA Medical Center, Dr. Matthew Budoff, explains how this breakthrough could change cardiovascular care.
We found that low-dose colchicine, 0.5 milligrams, can help reduce coronary plaque volume and inflammation in patients with heart disease. This may offer a new way to prevent future heart attacks or strokes by targeting a root cause, inflammation.
These findings build on prior research showing low-dose colchicine's role in lowering cardiovascular risk in high-risk patients, and it could be a vital part of your doctor's care plan.
When combined with other standard treatments, low-dose colchicine offers another tool to help patients live longer, healthier lives.
Learn more at CVDinflammation.com.
Funko's iconic pop collectibles, the vinyl figures with large signature heads inspired by pop culture characters and celebrities across film, TV, music, sports, and more, are a global sensation. Now, Funko's custom Pop Yourself line offers everyone a chance to create personalized pop replicas of themselves, friends, and loved ones. Skip the boring gifts this season and give dads and grads the gift of Pop Yourself, a personalized gift that's just as unique as they are. Graduation gowns and Father's Day accessories are just a few of the options to personalize your perfect pop. Jen Han, Funko's general manager of Pop Yourself.
Pop Yourself is more than a gift. It's a custom-made tribute. We're delighted to offer everyone the opportunity to create a personalized, thoughtful gift. So ditch the mug or gift card and give your dad or grad a fun, unforgettable keepsake.
Try Pop Yourself to commemorate special moments such as Father's Day, birthdays, baby reveals, or just about anything. To create your Pop Yourself, visit Funko.com.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left-right, black-white, two-dimensional approach. Well, Democrats demand ICE agents be unmasked, despite knowing that doing so exposes them to life-threatening acts by, well, inbred activists. Are they going to succeed? I think not. Also, the Supreme Court soon decides on whether district judges must stop their national injunctions that really usurp the executive separated powers. The big question is, will Trump use his check on the judiciary if SCOTUS rules against those powers? Because he has a check. It's born out of the fact that the judiciary has no power to enforce its own rulings. And if the president finds that they've gone rogue, he can just go ahead and simply not comply. Now, he's not a king, so the House can impeach and it can refer it to the Senate for a trial of expulsion. But once that Senate fails to reach the two-thirds majority required to stop Trump, then by default, he will have won that separation of powers argument. And it will not be a byproduct of constitutional crisis, but rather it'll be the byproduct of a constitutional remedy. That's what it's there for. Now, people like to say, well, what about the U.S. Marshal Office? They can order them. No, no, no. Anybody at the U.S. Marshal Office is still with the executive. And anybody who might normally want to carry out what the Supreme Court says is somebody who's answerable to somebody the president can fire. And not only that, if the Supreme Court or any court wants to put forward, if you will, any kind of court reprimand or finding of contempt, guess what? The president can have in the pocket anybody who would be subjected to that an automatic pardon. He'll be pardoned for anything you inflict upon this guy who's carrying out my orders. And the pardon is sacrosanct. Look what Biden did with an auto pen, for God's sake. So it's pretty sacrosanct. And it goes on and on and on. The president can check the judiciary. That's how come the judiciary has never been entitled to enforce its own rulings. Why? Because it was seen by the creator of the three-branch dynamic, one Baron Montesquieu, that allowing the judiciary to ever merge with the executive would equal a tyrannical force. So our founding fathers, when writing the Constitution, ensured that the judiciary would never be allowed to enforce its own rulings. And born out of that reality is the president's potential check. But as I said, he's not a king, so he can be checked by the House with an impeachment, and he would face Senate expulsion trial. That's if they ever bothered to even pick it up. They have to even bother with it. But let's assume they do, and it goes to the Senate. If they're not able to get the two-thirds votes required to expel the president or stop him, then he will have won that separation of powers argument, and his actions will stand. And I hope to God the Supreme Court is mindful of that reality, because Mulberry versus Madison may have made clear that the courts are the final ruling on constitutional law, but they have never been the final ruling on whether or not they get to usurp another branch's separated powers. At that point, they just become one of two litigants. And a cornerstone of law has always been that nobody gets to be a judge in his own trial, and that includes the effing Supreme Court and every court below it. Anyway, without further ado, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing none other than Kent Strang, Managing Director for Americans for Prosperity. He's here to talk with us about the rescission. That's right. This is something that's a big deal on Capitol Hill right now. It's got everybody talking. More specifically, we have two groups on Capitol Hill that are putting their foot down. Multiple GOP voting blocs are demanding legislation on Trump's proposed DOGE cuts of $9.4 billion. Big question is it best that Speaker Johnson backs them, given that he needs their support on Trump's big, beautiful bill when it comes back from House-Senate conference, which is likely going to be the case. Anyway, let me go back to my guest. Great to have you back, sir. None other, once again, than Kent Strang, Managing Director for Americans for Prosperity. Kent, appreciate your patience. Thanks for joining us. What do you think of the chances of this rescission bill getting passed?
I think there's a really good chance that it gets passed. I feel like I saw Speaker Johnson alluded to that they wanted to cut that $9.4 billion of the rescission package. I think it's going to happen in the Senate, too. And I think this is one first step into cutting the DOGE waste, fraud, and abuse that Elon and the team found. I think this is a great opportunity for Americans to claw back some wasteful spending.
Oh, my God, without a doubt. Now, the House Freedom Caucus and Republican Study Committee, they're both demanding that the House votes on Trump's expected $9.4 billion federal spending cut, as I mentioned. But they want to do it the same week it arrives on Speaker Johnson's desk. Now, the primary targets include the removal of funding for USAID, PBS, and NPR. How quickly do you see this working out? Because you're going to have Senate involvement in this.
Sure. Well, my understanding is they only have 45 days to act once the rescissions package is introduced. And so Congress absolutely has to move quickly to combine the rescissions package and then bring along the pro-growth tax relief and the provisions of the reconciliation bill. So they better move quickly.
It seems to me that Trump's going to have a lot more backing on this than he enjoyed with the big, beautiful bill. He only squeaked by with 215 to 214. It seems to me that some of those folks who are otherwise hedging their bets or holding out in supporting Trump are definitely going to be more inclined to support this type of thing. And if this gets passed, I'm thinking that it makes it all the more hopeful that the big, beautiful bill will also get passed in both the House and the Senate, given the likelihood of their second visits. I think it's going to happen twice. So this helps all that out, or am I mistaken? Maybe I'm being overly sanguine. Your take.
I think you're 100% right. I think there are two things that Congress should do. One is, if Congress can't cut $9.4 billion of wasteful USAID money that's funding wild things, we have a real problem on our hand. But I think this is a good first step, and they should do additional rescissions packages with the fraud and the abuse and the waste that DOGE has found. But I think to the one big beautiful bill part is that there are a lot of concerns about how much we're spending, and rightfully so. We have a spending problem in America. And so as they pass one big beautiful bill and it doesn't have as many of the cuts as they hope for, we need to find other ways to do that. And rescission packages is certainly a way to eliminate the size and scope of government through that.
So if these conservative voting blocks see not only this bill but subsequent rescission bills on the horizon, it might soften their resistance against the big, beautiful bill, because they can say to themselves, well, at least we're cutting spending in a different fashion, albeit more palatable. Your take?
I agree. And there is $1.6 trillion of spending cuts in the one big, beautiful bill. And it looks like the Senate is going to go after more of those cuts. They can continue to look at cutting more of the so-called or ill-named Inflation Reduction Act, the EV credits that Biden threw in there, that the Green New Scam policies. The Senate might go in and look for additional cuts. Now, how the House will look at that, or maybe clawing back some of the SALT deductions that they've looked at, how that'll play in the House, I don't know. The margins are incredibly small, as you highlighted, but there is certainly an opportunity for the Senate to help improve this bill and cut as much waste and cut as much spending as it can possibly handle. But what we can't do is lose sight of what happens if we don't pass the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which it will result in the largest tax hike in American history, $4 trillion over the next decade that will
harm families. When does Trump's 217 tax cut run out?
I think it runs out at the end of the year is when it sunsets. And that's also another important part of the One Big Beautiful Bill, is it makes many of those provisions permanent. We need permanency in the tax code on that.
Do you see the Senate making enough changes that require a House-Senate conference committee? And if you do, do you also believe both chambers will then positively vote on that final result?
It's going to have to go back to the House to pass. I think they get it done. I think it happens by the 4th of July.
Wow, you think it, even if it goes through a House Senate conference committee ironing out the differences and has to go back to both chambers for another vote, it still passes by the 4th of July. Wow.
Alibi
from your from your mouth to God's ears. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show. Going to be right back.
Here in the Great Hall of Shells at the Bailey Matthews National Shell Museum and Aquarium, you can see behind me plenty of species that we mentioned, right? So we wanted to find a way to celebrate, if you will, and invite everybody to come celebrate with us wherever you may be. Of course, we want you here. But different things you can do is visit inside here and learn a little bit about the shells, and then go out onto the beach and pick them yourselves and then bring them home as a souvenir. Because we are the seashell capital of the world, we wanted to coincide with the first day of summer as well, because what better way to celebrate, right? So you're welcome. There's plenty of things to do, but we always want to see you here. Even more fun to do it around this time of year.
here on the islands, there's so much to do, not just here, but also on our Wild Mile, which incorporates so much of our outdoor space, the birds and animals and species that you can find on San Juan Captiva Islands. And then we invite you to go on out to the beach, as Miriam mentioned.
Head to visitfortmyers.com. You can get some inspiration, see some photos, and even itineraries there.
Circle K Fuel Day is back. Just in time for Memorial Day weekend, customers can save up to 40 cents on each gallon of fuel at the pump from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. local time on Thursday, May 22nd. The discount is applied directly at the pump, so customers can enjoy their savings seamlessly. Your purchase will also have an added benefit. To honor our veterans ahead of Memorial Day, 10% of profits will be donated to the Children of Fallen Patriots Foundation, helping military children who have lost a parent in the line of duty. As people hit the road over the long weekend, customers can stretch their dollars and help give back to veterans with Circle K Fuel Day. With 5,800 Circle K locations across the U.S. participating in the Fuel Day, mark your calendar to get your discount while supplies last. To find the closest local Circle K store offering this deal, visit CircleK.com/fuel-day.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon? Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, don't tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan? Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate, once again. This is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left-right, black-white, two-dimensional approach. Well, some interesting developments over the last few days. Head-shaking, to say the least. But you got to wonder what the Democrats are up to these days. What are they up to? I mean, they have been insistent that immigration would always be the panacea for their woes, that no matter what, they could characterize all efforts to secure the border or control illegal immigration or deport people who might be injurious, potentially injurious to the country, as maneuvers that are tantamount to xenophobia, even though every country on the face of the planet is allowed to control those who would enter their homeland without fear of the xenophobia card. For some reason, our country should never be entitled to have that same latitude reciprocated. Absolutely bizarre. But lo and behold, this does appear to be biting the Democrats in the proverbial backside. We have assisting in the opining and analyzing Andrew Arthur, resident fellow in law and policy at the Center for Immigration Studies. He was an assistant general counsel and acting chief of the INS National Security Law Division. Also served for 8 years as an immigration judge. Andrew, good to have you back. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Alan. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, pleasure. Pleasure indeed. Well, I love the headline here. We see it across a number of papers, but I'm going to pick Fox on this occasion because it's teasing the Washington Post. Headline, liberal news outlet mocked for reporting on mysterious drop in fentanyl flowing across the border. The Washington Post reported that the drop in fentanyl crossing the border represents something of a mystery. Now, I realize that not always does correlation equal causation. In other words, just because you and I get up in the morning and the sun is also rising doesn't mean the former had anything to do with the latter. Okay, that's true. But a lot of times, correlation is a good place to start looking for a causation. And when you've had uncontrolled flowing, when you've had an uncontrolled flowing of fentanyl until Trump decides to tighten the border, and then upon tightening it like a drum, we all of a sudden see, you know, an immediate sharp drop in that flow of fentanyl. Well, then clearly it is more than proper to assert that but for the closing of the border, we would not have had that drop in fentanyl. So where indeed is the mystery, I ask you, sir?
Yeah, no, and it's a great question, Alan, because, you know, the WAPO refers to it as a new and puzzling reality. Well, it's not a puzzle to anybody who knows anything about fentanyl or knows anything about the border. Fentanyl precursors generally are sent to Mexico, where they are put together in labs run by the cartels, Sinaloa, Gulf, CNJG, and then they're shipped to the United States. And for the 4 years of the Biden administration, the border was largely open, and the fentanyl flowed in. And the cartels actually used that migrant. It's important to note, it's not that the migrants were, you know, backpacking stuff in the United States, but the cartels would control the flows of the migrants into the country, especially women and children, because they would draw up Border Patrol agents, they would open controllable gaps, and then they could just move the product into the country. Fast forward to today, 5 weeks ago, I was in San Diego. That border's as tight as a drum. Not only are there Border Patrol agents on our side, we have Marines who are putting up concertina wire on the fence itself. Cross over to the other side, the first person that I saw in Tijuana, Alan, was a member of the Mexican National Guard. So President Trump used a tariff threat. He got President Sheinbaum in Mexico to put the National Guard up. We've cut off all of the migration coming illegally into the United States, which leaves the cartels out in the cold. Couldn't happen to better people. And in addition, President Trump has convinced President Sheinbaum to send troops in to go bust up those labs that are bringing the drugs to the United States. So,
and she begrudgingly has been cooperating more than rejecting, despite there sometimes being a disconnect between her actions and her rhetoric. Her rhetoric is, you know, one of resistance, but her actions is one of unbalanced compliance. Some would say justified capitulation, or am I being too snarky?
Yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, and this is the part that most Americans miss, the migrant crisis wasn't good for Mexico at all. It bred crime, it bred corruption, because, of course, they're paying off every cop on the way to the United States, and it gave the cartels a feast day. They could simply, you know, make billions of dollars shipping this stuff to the United States. You know, Sheinbaum may say, well, you know, I'm doing this reluctantly. I have no doubt that the people in Mexico City are very happy to see Donald Trump back in power, not for the tariff part, that part they don't like, but for the
I'm of the opinion I'm of the opinion that she's really perhaps being more artful than we give her credit for being, because on one hand, yeah, she wants to look as if she's resistant Trump, not only for the purposes of supposedly showing muscularity as a leader, but also to hedge her bets with the cartel themselves. I mean, they do have a lot of influence over portions of the Mexican government. They have plenty of elected leaders in their pockets. They have plenty of police in their pockets. So on one hand, you know, yes, from a national posture, she wants to look as if she's standing up to Trump, but also she probably wants to look like she's standing up to Trump for the purposes of not looking as if she's, you know, joining the gang up against the cartels, while also at the same time, as you also correctly cited, probably privately celebrating the fact that things are a lot tougher on the cartels these days. They're not able to move neither people nor goods as easily as they once were. And we have seen a rapid declination of both goods and materials across the board. By the way, folks, if you're just joining us, we have on board Andrew Arthur, resident fellow in law and policy at the Center for Immigration Studies. As a matter of fact, in this Fox piece I referenced, this organization was cited. Here's what they say. According to the Center for Immigration Studies, CIS, the U.S. law enforcement seizures of fentanyl, which the group explains is a key indicator of broader total smuggling at and between the southern borders, ports of entry, quote unquote. These things have dropped 50% since the November election. CIS states that this significant decline indicates, quote, a greater decline in total fentanyl smuggling. But you know what, my friend? Now we understand that they're going to go after the next weak point of entry, which is, of course, the Canadian border. How do you see this unfolding?
So there's definitely issues with respect to the Canadian border, because, you know, the Canadian border ports themselves are not terribly secure. I could go back to my congressional days and tell you that. The other issue, Alan, is that, you know, there are allegations, pretty strong ones, that certain Canadian banks are laundering that money, that fentanyl money, for the cartels. Now, whether they're doing it wittingly or unwittingly or whatever is a different issue. But, yeah, Canada's the next choke point, which is why President Trump is also, and a lot of Americans are like, why are you talking about fentanyl in Canada? You don't grow fentanyl, you make fentanyl. And, you know, if you can make it, you can make it anywhere, which means we need to start watching for the stuff coming into Canada as well, or coming in from Canada as well.
I'm curious, though, why it is that Trump's having as many challenges with judges as it relates to his deportation and border security approaches, because Title 8 would seem to give him, you know, or any president, all the powers needed to secure the border, place restrictions on illegal immigrants already here, and then, of course, remove them, and therefore accordingly marginalize the operations of those needed to help facilitate the fentanyl crossing over. Because when you look at Title 8, Chapter 12, Subchapter 2, Part 2, Section 1182, here's an excerpt. It says, quote, whenever the president finds that the entry of any aliens or of any class of aliens into the United States would be detrimental to the interests of the United States, he may, by proclamation, and for such period as he shall deem necessary, suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants, or impose on the entry of aliens any restrictions he may deem to be appropriate. End of excerpt. Now, you and I both know those restrictions include deportations, do they not?
They certainly do, Alan. And I mean, this is a situation in which, you know, Joe Biden said, I need Congress to act or I can't secure the border. That was never true. There are plenty of tools in the toolbox. The problem was that Joe Biden didn't want to use most of them, or the only one that he saw was the screw that he pried open the border with. So, you know, this is the situation. When you have the courts pushing back, keep in mind, go back to Harry Reid when he lifted the filibuster for judges. Plenty of partisan judges ended up on the bench because of that. You're seeing Harry Reid's revenge play out in the courts. It's not going to play out in the circuit courts. Definitely not going to play out.
Yeah, but now that same lowering of the bar allows Trump to pretty much do the same thing.
Absolutely.
And, you know, let us hope that the executive is not forced to use its constitutionally provided prerogative to check the judiciary for any finally rendered rogue ruling that would attempt to usurp its separated power regarding its ability to protect the border. Because, as you know, as a former immigration judge, it is the constitutionally designed inability of the judiciary to enforce its own ruling. And that permits this presidential check by the executive to preempt any tyrannical ruling from any court of the judiciary. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show. Going to be right back.
A new national survey reveals a surprising gap between what Americans believe about dental care and what they actually do. Many say they want to keep their natural teeth for life, but their habits often don't match that goal. Dr. Stephen Katz, president of the American Association of Endodontists, explains.
Most adults say they care about keeping their natural teeth, and nearly 9 in 10 believe flossing is important. But almost 60% don't floss daily, and more than 2 in 5 wait to see a dentist until they're already in pain. These delays can lead to serious dental problems.
Tooth pain doesn't have to mean tooth loss. When problems do arise, there's hope and help from a dental specialist known as an endodontist to help save your natural teeth.
That's correct. Endodontists are specialists in saving natural teeth through root canal therapy. With the right care, even a tooth that hurts or is infected can frequently be saved. But the key is acting early. Don't wait for pain.
Learn more at findmyendodontist.com. A new AARP fraud report highlights the need for better cybersecurity habits. Kathy Stokes is the director of fraud prevention programs with AARP's Fraud Watch Network.
Fraud is becoming increasingly sophisticated, yet many Americans may still be unaware of habits that can decrease their risk. Now, millions of adults have downloaded unverified apps, or they've taken social media quizzes from questionable sources, and millions have yet to enable multi-factor authentication, which is an easy step that offers additional protection for online accounts.
The good news is that protecting yourself doesn't require a tech background.
Simple steps like updating your passwords, using a VPN on public Wi-Fi, and turning on security features can help keep your information safe.
For more on how to protect yourself from the latest scams, visit aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork. That's aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork.
Life is expensive for the average American right now. Budgets are tight and customers are looking for ways to stretch their dollars. That's why Metro by T-Mobile is bringing back the classic $40 plan. Get a new 5G phone and a plan for just $40 flat. For a family of four, it's just $25 a line, and each person gets a free 5G phone. That's $350 in savings. When you join any new plan from Metro, the price of talk, text, and data is guaranteed for the next 5 years. Take that, inflation. For more information, visit metrobyt-mobile.com. Sponsored by T-Mobile.
The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. At Children International, we know that the journey to end poverty for good begins first with a child. It starts with their first checkup, lesson, opportunity, job. That journey takes commitment from people like you and me to end poverty for good. Learn more at children.org.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Your thoughts on this on-again, off-again judicial tug of war over tariffs?
Well, Brett, it seems highly inappropriate for the judiciary to wade in here when the Senate had the opportunity to override the president and didn't. So, you know, in terms of separation of powers, the Senate has chosen not to exercise their powers, and the president absolutely has the right to set the trade agenda for the U.S. This administration is committed to fair trade, and we are striking the best deals for the American people, and anything that the courts do to get in the way, they both harms the American people in terms of trade and in terms of tariff revenue.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Over here is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left-right, black-white, two-dimensional approach. And you're listening to an exchange between Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent on Fox News' special report with Brett Baer. The Treasury Secretary is asked about the judicial tug of war by Brett, and he responds by saying that it really seems inappropriate for the judicial system to attack tariffs when the Senate decided not to check them. I mean, this is a power that the Congress conferred upon the president via Title 50. And he adds that this interference from the courts hurts the public. Well, it not only does that, it tears away at the separation of powers, and there's a remedy for that. Now, let's hope that the executive is not forced to use its constitutionally provided prerogative to check the judiciary for really any finally rendered rogue ruling that would attempt to usurp the executive separated power. Let's hope that doesn't happen, because we've got to remember something. It is indeed the constitutionally designed inability of the judiciary to enforce its own rulings that actually permits this presidential check to go ahead and preempt any tyrannical ruling from any court of the judiciary. Now, the president's not a king, okay? The counter check remedy on the president would be House impeachment followed by the Senate expulsion trial, should they even feel it's necessary. But if the Senate, or I should say when the Senate, fails to reach the required two-thirds vote majority necessary to stop the president, well, then he will have constitutionally won that separation of powers debate with the judiciary having no option but to accept it. Okay? Again, once the Senate fails to reach the required two-thirds vote majority to stop the president, he will have then constitutionally prevailed with that separation of powers debate with the judiciary, and his actions will stand, and they will stand lawfully. Why? Because they would have prevailed constitutionally. And any time legislative law conflicts with constitutional law trumps legislative law each and every time, pardon the pun. But it does. The only reason why we even have checks and balances and reciprocal checks and balances is because of what's known as the separation of powers. That's the leverage that each branch has to thwart any of the other two when either of the other two might be trying to encroach upon the one. And it's circular. Again, each branch has certain absolute powers beyond the reach of the other two. That's the only reason why checks and balances and reciprocal checks and balances work. Well, this is one of them. Lord Montesquieu, who was the architect of the three-branch system, the model upon which our founding fathers predicated our government, our Constitution, he made it abundantly clear you never let the judiciary have the powers of the executive, otherwise it will morph into a tyrannical force. And our forefathers, our founding fathers, knew that, which is why the judiciary was deliberately denied any ability to enforce its own rulings. Now, people like to say, what about the U.S. Marshal's Office? He could always get that. Yeah, stop it. That's just another legislative law trying to transcend a constitutional law that never works once it's put to the test. Sure, let's put it to the test. The judiciary knocks on the door of the U.S. Marshals. You have to arrest these people from the president's office who are not complying with what we're demanding. Okay, guess what? That U.S. Marshal personnel person answers to the president, who answers to somebody else who answers to the president. Anybody they would prevail upon to follow their enforcement efforts is a person who works under a person who works under a person who can be fired by the president. And also the president can put on perpetual operation a never-ending pardon. Here, take this piece of paper with you, and it's a pardon. And every time someone tries to hit you for contempt of court or fine you for anything in your effort to carry out my duties, you can hit them with that pardon. Next judge, you have another one here. I got another pardon. I got another pardon for that. A pardon. My point is that no matter what law is ever created legislatively, the judiciary simply does not have the constitutional powers to enforce its own rulings. The president can say no if the president feels they're being rogue. Now, again, as I said, he's not a king. So if the Congress believes that he's the rogue force for not acquiescing to sound judicially reviewable issues and rulings, well, then fine, they can impeach him and then send the case to the Senate for an expulsion trial. But as I said, when the Senate fails to reach its two-thirds majority to stop him, well, then by default, he will have won that separation of powers argument. This is not a constitutional crisis. That, my friends, is a constitutional remedy. Anyway, I didn't mean to get lost in all that. I had more time than I wanted to. Assisting in the opining and analyzing, we have Brian Reisinger, award-winning columnist and consultant. Reisinger worked with his father on his farm from the time he could walk before entering the worlds of business journalism and public policy. His work has appeared in outlets such as USA Today, Real Clear Politics, The Hill. By the way, he's also author of the highly praised work entitled Land Rich, Cash Poor, My Family's Hope, and the Untold History of the Disappearing American Farmer. My understanding is the farmers like Trump's tariff strategy, or am I mistaken, Brian?
Hey, good to be with you. Thanks for having me. You know, our farmers look at this situation and they say, what are we going to be able to do to put family farms first? What are we going to be able to do to get tougher trade standards to wipe out unfair practices by other countries, including hostile nations like China? That's the question that they're really asking, I think. And they, of course, have concerns. There are ways that tariffs affect everybody, but they also see that tariffs are a tool for getting tough and stopping some of the unfair stuff that's been going on now for decades.
And there does seem to be efficacy behind Trump's strategy. We've already got a U.S.-UK deal. We already have the European Union leadership saying, no mas, please suspend, if you will, your threat of tariffs. Let us come to the negotiation and lower the concerns that you have. And we see more of this being replicated every other day in the news cycle, do we not, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. And the UK deal is more American strong in Europe. We got to build on that with more of the fair markets getting opened up by tough negotiations.
Brian, thanks again. You break it up a bit at the end, but it's great having you. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.